Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
What is the price? We ask the other side. What is the price that you want from these working men and women?
This is the late Senator Ted Kennedy on the Senate floor in 2007, giving an impassioned speech on the minimum wage.
What cost? How much more do we have to give to the private sector and the business? How many billion dollars more are you asking? Are you requiring? When does the greed stop?
In this particular speech, Kennedy, the lion of the Senate, speaks with the full-throated roar of the fiery, deliberately partisan progressive. Senator Kennedy died in 2009, and Bill DeWalt says that in his almost half-century in the Senate, Kennedy often said that he deeply loved the upper chamber of Congress, its traditions, its history, and its ability to craft history-making compromise.
And that he felt had such a tremendous impact on the United States and was a real model for many other countries around the world in terms of how a group of people are supposed to be a very deliberative body and to kind of rise above the fray and do what's best for the country. That's what he loved about the Senate.
The question is, do the American people share that love? Right now, the answer is no. Congress began this year with dismal approval ratings, just 16% according to a January Gallup poll. But that is exactly the reason why Bill DeWalt is so invested in changing attitudes about the Senate. Because DeWalt is the museum director at the new Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the United States Senate. The $80 million facility is nestled next to the John F. Kennedy Presidential Library on Columbia Point in Dorchester, and it opens to the public next week. We were there earlier this month, at the same time students from Sutton High School visited. Outreach and education about the Senate is a major part of the Kennedy Institute's mission. And as soon as you step into the building, Kennedy's imprint is there. The first thing you see is a giant, polished black granite wall. On it, etched in 2-foot-tall letters stretching the length of 20 feet, are the words, Senator Edward M. Kennedy, Democrat of Massachusetts, from 1962 to 2009. And behind that wall is the Institute's crown jewel, a 5,500-square-foot, full-scale replica of the Senate chamber.
The first time that I walked into it when it was not even finished yet, I got chills going up and down my spine.
Everything is meticulously reproduced. 100 cherry wood desks arranged in horseshoe rows, the raised rostrum where the senators speak, the same royal blue and gold carpet. As DeWalt says, it's as close as you'll ever get to standing on the floor of the Senate chamber without going to Washington.
The kids from the schools come in and, you know, like all teenagers, they're a little bit bored and they're a little bit, okay, what's this all going to be about? And they're kind of jabbering with their friends. And then they walk into the Senate chamber and you can almost hear this audible gasp coming from people. And it's like, and all of a sudden, there's a totally different, I think, level of respect and interest in what is happening. So it's a great venue to really get them involved in the process.
And how do you do that? Especially with a group of young, easily distracted, digitally inclined high school students. Well, you become a senator for a day in a full-blown, immersive political simulation that's at the heart of the visitor experience. Matt Wilding runs the simulations, and he also acts as Senate president. On this visit, the 60 students from Sutton High School are charged with debating and voting on comprehensive immigration reform, an issue central to Kennedy's legislative legacy. As one writer once noted, in the 4 decades before his death, just about every single major immigration bill that passed through the Senate had Kennedy's stamp on it. Today, the students begin the simulation not with a paper backgrounder or a binder of notes. Instead, they each get a digital tablet.
At this time, your tablets should give you the opportunity to put your name in them, and they didn't.
A couple of technical hiccups on this dress rehearsal. They eventually get worked out. The students take a selfie with their tablets, and that picture is attached to a randomly assigned profile of a sitting senator. No name, but the students can scroll through the basic facts about the senator's state, party, background, and simplified descriptions of that senator's political stance and constituencies. For example, you're a Kansas Republican who is for increased national security, you oppose government spending, but you also support farming legislation. The students get acquainted with their political avatars, and then they scatter into breakout groups where they debate and select amendments to add to the immigration reform bill.
Any discussion about that, or should we go with that amendment?
I was intrigued by the idea of having a dynamic, active, electronically enhanced experience of what it really takes to make legislation. I always felt that the ordinary person doesn't get a chance to really see it in action.
Gene McCormick is the president of the Kennedy Institute and formerly the chancellor of UMass Dartmouth.
How do you make the sausage-making of policy and legislation exciting to young people?
Well, I think you have to let people experience it, you know. They think that you just get an idea and you convince everybody that your idea is right and they all vote for it. And it's a much more complex human process. You have students who are assigned to be from farm states, and they suddenly realize, oh my gosh, I never thought about this. I never thought that there was a point of view that comes because you're an agricultural state, and so you need workers, maybe migrant workers who come to work on the farm. So you think differently about immigration reform and what should be allowed and what shouldn't be allowed than we do in Massachusetts, because those are not issues that we deal with. So that we see the students suddenly understanding, oh, if I'm going to convince you to vote for this legislation, I better understand what your point of view is, because it's about finding common ground. I'm looking for a way that people can understand, how did we get into this gridlock where the reds and the blues are just caught up in their opinion and they won't find common ground?
Yeah, I mean, I knew how it worked vaguely, but in terms of the whole, like, really getting into it, I had no idea. I didn't know it was this much work.
Nathan Postero is a 17-year-old Sutton High School senior. A self-described conservative, he's been assigned the profile of a Democrat.
Well, I mean, I can see where there can definitely be a clash of interest, which could probably, you know, if it's taking us 20 minutes to get over an issue, it's probably taking the actual government, you know, 20 years to get over the issue. You know, it's going to take them a while to find common ground.
The students file back into the mock Senate chamber. Matt Wilding gavels them in.
Forward.
The young would-be senators have an interesting immigration reform bill before them. It would increase worker quotas for science and technology, allow some undocumented immigrants to receive college financial aid, and create a biometric tracking system to follow immigrants as they enter the country. That fingerprint clause is a Republican amendment, and it's up for debate. Two students approach the rostrum. As Senate rules dictate, the supporting party speaks first.
Hello, I'm Matthew Valero. I am a Republican from Nebraska. New, more advanced technology aids in development of our nation as a whole. These changes will promote jobs, industry, as well as increase opportunities for education. Some may say that if this system is established, that it will negatively affect civil liberties. However, if the citizens are not breaking any laws, and they have nothing to fear. With the passing of this amendment, our nation will expand and grow stronger as a whole. Thank you.
And then, the Democrat.
Aaron Dyball, Rhode Island. Okay. We agree with this because it increases the technology in which we can boost jobs and help our economy. It will also increase national security, which is an interest of both parties. This technique has been used in a few other countries and has proven to work. While the immigrants will give up their civil liberties while entering the country, they will have a chance to flourish once they've gained entrance into the country.
Bipartisan support. Interesting. Now the students have to vote on the fingerprint amendment. They tap either aye or nay on their tablets.
All right. It looks like it passed. Congratulations, Senator.
Amendments are the easy stuff. The Sutton High School students are now asked to vote on the entire Comprehensive Immigration Reform Bill. The roll call begins.
First, Eric Bader, Democrat from Oregon. Aye!
The aye is tallied on a giant video screen behind the rostrum, and the first six votes are in favor of passage. But then, the nays roll in.
Nay!
The tally climbs on the big screen. It's a nail-biter.
Teresa Traynor, Republican from Utah.
Strongly aye.
Aye! Michael Whittier, Republican, Mississippi.
Nay.
Nay. Final vote result. 31 yes. 29 nay. By a margin of 2 votes. Comprehensive immigration reform has passed. Give yourselves a round of applause.
Well, at least on this day. But let's remember that the real United States Senate did indeed pass its version of immigration reform in 2013. But the effort later died in the House. And there the issue remains. No congressional debate, no compromise, no vote. Just a lot of politics. One of the reasons why Americans are deeply cynical about Congress. Recall that 16% approval rating we talked about earlier. And yet here, in this simulation, amendments and reform bills are passed with the tap of a digital tablet. In the Kennedy Institute simulation, the Senate works. But in reality, Washington is broken. So what exactly are the students learning? I put the question to Institute President Jean McCormick.
I think what we're saying, what are the elements that will make it function better? And if they're young people and they don't vote, and remember, only 36% of the people in the country vote. So do we get the kind of leadership that we don't vote for? We can't let the cynicism of, oh, you know, there's nothing you can do, one person doesn't make a difference. We can't let that be the attitude. So yes, we're pushing optimism as a way for people to re-engage. Optimism alone probably won't do it. You're going to have to do something. So you'll see when you get to the end of our exhibit, we ask everyone to make a pledge. What is it that you could do? Because if you're going to criticize people not doing anything, be sure you've at least stepped up to the plate.
So that is the hope shared by McCormick and Senator Kennedy himself before he died, that beginning next week, when the Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the United States Senate opens, visitors might get the feeling that it is possible for politics to work. They might perhaps be spurred by the same sense of purpose that Kennedy called upon his fellow senators to show back in 2007 in one of his last floor speeches on immigration.
Now is the time. Now is the time to secure our borders. Now is the time to deal with the national security issue. Now is the time to resume our commitment to the family values of people who want to work hard, men and women of faith, people that care about this country and want to be a part of the American dream. That is the challenge. Now is the time. This is the place.
The Edward M. Kennedy Institute for the United States Senate opens to the public on Tuesday.
And that's it for Radio Boston for today and for this week. Radio Boston is a production of WBUR, Boston's NPR news station. I'm Anthony Brooks.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Have a great weekend. Join us again on Monday for more Radio Boston.